You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday. Welcome into the program. I'm Charlie Arnold. Now, before we just went live on the air, I was doing what probably many of you have already spent your morning doing or will spend your afternoon or your evening doing. I was scrolling on social media. Why? Because I'm addicted, like the rest of us. We are all just straight up addicted to scrolling. I had no real intention for what I was doing, but I was just seeing what was going on. And I probably wouldn't have stopped scrolling if the red light wouldn't have gone on. So this leads me to my top story, because the big question on everyone's mind is, will it stay or will it go? And I'm clearly talking about TikTok, because TikTokers right now are absolutely freaking out over a potential ban of the app. Watch this one.
All my life, I had to fight. They finna take TikTok away, and all my life, I had to fight. I'm finna fight everybody. TikTok can't go. You can't go. TikTok can't go.
Okay, so I purposely waited to watch that video until just now because I wanted to actually react organically, and wow, this girl is going to fight. I'm not sure who, but she's going to fight if TikTok goes away. So let me break it all down for you, for those of you who have not heard the news of the potential ban. So here's exactly what happened. Yesterday, the House approved a bill that calls for China tech giant ByteDance to divest TikTok, or the app will be banned in the United States. Now, the reason being is because TikTok is viewed as a threat to national security because it's controlled by China. So now the bill, having already passed through the House, will go to the Senate, where honestly, who knows what's going to happen? It's where federal and state-led efforts to ban TikTok have stalled in the past because it's controlled by Democrats. And, you know, that could very well happen again. But let's say it does pass and China refuses to sell and therefore it's banned. Is that going to be a good thing? Okay, let me first say I understand why some people like this girl are absolutely freaking out. Well, A, they're addicted, like I just admitted I was. I'm not addicted to TikTok, but social media in general. I also understand content creators, the ones who make this their livelihood, they're definitely going to lose out on business opportunities and also some money if TikTok goes away. So I can totally feel for them under that circumstance. Also, I will admit, although I'm not an avid user of TikTok, there is some valuable content to be found on the app. I wouldn't say most, but some. Recipes, cleaning hacks, outfit ideas, you get the idea. However, to be honest, don't hate me for saying this, everybody. I could care less if TikTok is banned. I barely use it. And I do believe, I truly believe the app is a breeding ground for toxic filth and preys on its users, getting them hooked to scrolling and watching mindless content that pollutes their brains and completely decimates their attention spans and also destroys their mental health. Now, that being said, if TikTok is banned, does it really matter? There are still multiple other platforms that users can turn to get their fix and have access to the same type of content. Exactly what I just admitted I'm guilty of. I was just on Instagram. Now, to this effect, former President Donald Trump himself had a change of heart on a TikTok ban. Originally, he signed an executive order to ban the app unless it was owned by an American company, but now has reversed course, posting this on Truth Social the other day. Quote, if you get rid of TikTok, Facebook and Zucker Schmuck will double their business. I don't want Facebook, who cheated in the last election, doing better. They are a true enemy of the people. So obviously he has changed his tune on what he believes is the best course of action in order to do, you know, as far as his politics go. But here's what's going to happen. It's going to go to the Senate, like I just mentioned. What's going to happen there? That's anyone's best guess. But I will say that bipartisan support, definitely surprising. I do really believe lawmakers are finally understanding the harm TikTok is bringing about and also fully understand the national security threat it poses. So I think we are closer than we ever have been in the past to a ban. But again, it's in the Senate's hands for now. And Joe Biden has already said he will sign the proposed legislation if it passes through Congress. So could be an interesting next couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll see many more videos like the one we just showed you at the top of the show of people wanting to fight. Again, who we don't know if TikTok is actually banned. But on that note, let's bring in someone who I'm super excited to talk to once again. She is the host of Outkick's Gains for Girls. She is an anti-trans rights activist. Her name is Riley Gaines, and I have so many different things I want to talk to her about, starting with the subject that I just touched upon. But first and foremost, Riley, how are you this morning?
I am great. Just to be clear, I would very much label myself as a pro-women's rights activist. My argument is very much based around women. I'm not anti-trans. I'm not anti-trans people playing in sports. Very much pro-woman.
Pro-woman. Pro-woman activist, of course. Okay, so Riley, let's first talk about the idea of TikTok potentially being banned. Obviously, the filth that permeates social media of all sorts is something that has been brought to our attention time and time again. Nothing has been done about it. It's only destroying the mental health of the younger generations, even the older generations, if we want to be frank about it. What are your thoughts, an initial reaction on the fact that the ban has already passed through the House and now is in the Senate's hands?
Yeah, this is interesting. I initially was very much, you know, let's ban TikTok. But I've seen a lot of different members of Congress posts. I've seen President Trump posts. And now I'm like, if Nancy Pelosi supports this, maybe I should take a second look at what's actually going on here. And so truthfully, I don't know if I fully have created a, you know, what I think in my head. But what I do know is that TikTok really is a mind virus. As someone who has had TikTok myself, I unfortunately, and I have no problem admitting this, can sit there and scroll for hours and hours and hours until finally my mind is so numb. I can't even remember the video I watched 10 seconds before the video I'm on now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a problem. There are so many other productive things I could be doing with my time. So I don't know if I formed complete opinion yet, but I'm certainly that's something I want to be able to research more and actually read the bill.
Do you actually believe that a ban is something that, I mean, we've been talking about this for some time now. They're always this close to getting a ban passed. This time, though, it does feel like emotions have shifted a little bit, like you just mentioned around it. Do you think that this will actually happen?
Congress likes to sit on their hands. Our federal government likes to sit on their hands. So I'm not overly confident this will be something that's done swiftly because they don't do anything swiftly. So we'll see. What I think the proposed solution should be is we create an alternative to TikTok that is based here in the U.S. That seems like a relatively simple solution in my eyes. But we'll see. Again, Congress doesn't do anything efficiently. And if they do, that's when you should be worried.
Okay, well, Riley, you've had a very, very exciting past couple of weeks. Being as pro-woman as you are invited to join the biggest podcast in the country. That's the Joe Rogan Experience. All of us were super excited to see you as the featured guest because, again, that's an honor that not so many people have gotten or will ever get. So congratulations on first and foremost being invited onto the podcast. And I listened to it. You were phenomenal, as I knew you would be. What was your reaction when you first got the invite to come onto Joe Rogan's podcast?
I was pretty shocked, honestly, given the fact that his platform is so large. But really, I was super duper excited for a couple of reasons. One of this is because this podcast extends beyond the base that I feel like I typically talk to. A lot of the times on Outkick and with Fox and speaking to Republican legislators and different things, you're very much preaching to the choir. I can probably guarantee you everyone watching your show right now agrees with our stance on men not being, shouldn't be allowed to compete in women's sports or change in women's locker rooms. But my understanding is that Joe Rogan's following, of course, you know, given the fact he has 200 million some subscribers, not all of those people are as black and white as I feel like I am, or maybe you are on this issue. So it was a fantastic way to reach a new audience, which excites me beyond belief, because that's ultimately how we make change. is we wake up people who maybe are apolitical, people who maybe previously haven't voted Republican or don't vote at all. Those are the people that we need. And this is an issue that persuades them to our side. And Charlie, I can't even tell you the amount of messages, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of messages I have received from people who said, I had no idea this was happening. Thank you so much for sharing what you shared. Now we know, now we can't say we're oblivious to this and we will act on this. And that's honestly what I was most excited about. And I will say, again, a large platform like Joe Rogan has, I was just excited to, most importantly, share the message and the goodness and the graciousness of our Lord. So to be able to do that on a large platform, that is why, as Christians, I believe we are called here to this earth, is to share his message. And broader than just the message of God created man and woman, perfect in his image, to share his word. So I was very excited to do that, especially with Joe Rogan as, you know, someone who doesn't believe. I don't know exactly what he thinks, but I don't believe he believes in the Lord. And his wheels were turning, which was exciting for me. You know, he said something to the effect of, hey, I think you're onto something. You know, the Bible, there are too many coincidences. Maybe this isn't just some sort of book of fairy tales. You know, maybe this really is a historical book. So that made me very excited as well.
Okay, I just got chills. So that's really cool that he said that to you. I know you said you were shocked to receive all of the feedback from people who were listening, who you opened their eyes to what was really happening, because like you said, you reached a fully new base that you hadn't been exposed to yet. So that's great news. But also on the other hand, like you just mentioned, Joe Rogan, equally as surprised to hear a lot of the stories and things come out of your mouth. So let's take a listen.
He and I race in the 200 freestyle. And almost impossibly enough, Joe, we had gone the exact same time. Get out of the water, go behind the awards podium. The NCAA official looks at both Thomas and myself. Thomas, who is towering over me, 6'4". And this official looks at both of us and says, great job, but you tied. And we only have one trophy, so we're going to give the trophy to Leah. Sorry, Riley, you don't get one.
Jesus Christ.
And I said, why? This official looked at me and said, Riley, I am so sorry, but we have been advised as an organization that when photos are being taken, it's crucial that the trophy is in Leah's hands. It was right then and there that, like a slap across the face, I was like, how in the world can we as women, as female athletes, expect someone to stand up for us if we aren't even willing to stand up for us? But it wasn't until this official reduced everything that we had worked our entire lives for down to a photo op to validate the feelings and the identity of a man at the expense of our own. That's really when I decided that I couldn't continue being silent.
Okay, so we just got a glimpse of the shock that he experienced when he told that story, but can you go into further depth of what his reaction was like when, you know, this isn't just to give equal opportunity. This is really to paint a picture of what's more important. You know, they're putting the preferences and the ideals and the, I guess, you know, putting these trans athletes on pedestals while this is a women's division, and they're just completely pushing the women aside.
The patriarchy that the same feminists who are now fighting for this warned us about years ago. Joe's face in that clip, really throughout the entirety of our nearly 3 hour long conversation, his face consistently stayed like that. And that's the face that any sane person with a brain or a heart, for that matter, that's the face that they would be making when they hear these stories. And again, not just limited to my own. I could have sat there and talked to Joe for 3 more hours about other stories of this continuing to happen to girls, all levels, all divisions, all sports across the country, really across the world. And his face would have remained the same. And again, that's why I think it was so important to be able to share that, because I've been, you know, speaking out about this for 2 or so years, but I don't think people realize the extent of the unfair competition. I don't think they realize the extent of what that locker room scene really looked like. I don't think they realize the extent of how our speech was entirely stifled, how really college campuses are a breeding ground for really infringing upon our First Amendment rights and controlling how we think, what we say, and how we feel. So Joe's face, I certainly believe, represents the face of the overwhelming, the vast majority of Americans. Again, really globally, people who watch this, that's the face that they're making.
So when you were on the podcast, I mean, you talk about you could have gone on for three more hours. You actually opened up, Riley, in some ways that you haven't opened up to this point. You shared different stories that we have not yet heard from you. Were you expecting to be as transparent as you were during the podcast? Or were there some moments where you just felt like, you know what, there's no point in me holding on to this internally anymore? It's time to share this more with everybody so they have even a better idea of what it is that I went through and what it is that other women are currently going through.
Well, it was definitely a objective of mine to let my guard down, because I feel like I take this role pretty seriously. And a lot of the times I have to be pretty stern and pretty, you know, it's not laughing about it, not funny about it, because again, there are real consequences to a lot of what we're seeing. So I definitely wanted to let my guard down, be able to just be myself, because I'm a very lighthearted, fun, easygoing person. And so I feel like that was able to show through more. I went on Bill Maher's podcast a few months back. And that was an experience for me.
I remember that, yeah.
One, I think I was secondhand high leaving that place. I was like, oh my gosh, like I've never been exposed to this. I think I'm high right now. So that kind of threw me for a loop. So I was like prepared now. Bill Maher prepared me for Joe Rogan. And so, you know, cussing on live television is never something that I'm going to do. Cussing in general is just not something that I'm going to participate in. And so I certainly went in there with my standards and my values to which I uphold myself to. But it was nice to be able to let my guard down and just be raw and just be authentic and be able to almost poke fun, I guess, make a mockery of what is already a mockery, which is not something we get to do on a daily basis in this space.
Well, we have a couple things we're going to be continuing to make a mockery of, and rightly so. We'll do that in a bit. Before I move on from the Joe Rogan experience, I know you mentioned you got thousands of messages from people that were saying thank you for opening my eyes, which is so incredible. I'm sure it'll take you forever to get back to all of those people. But speaking of cursing, did you also get a ton of negative backlash from this? Because again, you're reaching people that don't participate necessarily in the political space. Maybe some people that share very different values than I do or you do. Did you receive a lot of negative feedback as well?
Charlie, I have not received one negative message. I have not received a single person saying anything negative about the episode. Not a single person. I'm sure there's something I missed somewhere. But no, I have received 100% of the messages I've received have been in total.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I was expecting some people, but again, the people watching Joe Rogan's show know they might not be conservatives, know they might not be Christians, know they might not consider themselves Republicans or have voted that way historically. But I wholeheartedly believe that the people listening to his show, watching his show consistently, they're sane people. They understand.
And again, open-minded people.
Exactly. Any sane person knows that everything that I shared is entirely true, and they see the harm in it. So that was pretty cool for me to not even receive a single negative message. That doesn't happen. But that's what they don't want you to hear, too. They don't want you to hear that majority of people agree with this. And that was what I was terrified of before I had ever really put my name in my face to this. I was told that, you know, you'll never get a job, you'll lose your friends, you'll lose your scholarship, you're not going to get into grad school. All these terrible things would happen to you. Doors would be shut in your face for merely talking about this. And that has not happened to me from the beginning. Of course, I'm not going to sit here and say that there's no negative or that I haven't received any negative comments or you know, seen any of these threats play out in real time at all since the beginning. But the support is tenfold anything negative. And wow, a lot of this pressure that we put on ourselves is entirely internal, and it doesn't actually exist.
Wow. Well, I am so, so happy to hear that. And I mean, I've known you close to a year at this point, and the opportunities that I've been seeing you get as a result of being open and honest and transparent, I feel like doors just continually open day by day for you. So I'm so happy to hear the 100% positive feedback rate. That is, I gotta say, I was not expecting that. But it makes me so happy for you and for the cause that you're fighting for. That's obviously very important to all of us as women. And also for the men that champion women. So again, thank you for being so transparent on the podcast, because it's so important, because it's, you know, you mentioned this is really affecting college age women. Well, unfortunately, it's now affecting girls and women of all ages, because just recently we were able to hear from a 11-year-old girl, a sixth grader in Lebanon, Indiana, who was forced to share a locker room with a boy. And she saw things that she wasn't prepared or wanting to see at this stage in her life, and had a very emotional reaction. So let's take a listen.
Just note what school you go to.
My name is Delilah Marshall. I'm a sixth grade student here at LMS. I'm here to discuss a matter with a male being in a female's locker room. Imagine this is you. You're an 11-year-old girl who's coming into school thinking that they're in a safe environment. You go to PE to get ready in the locker room, and you see a boy in there. The first time you saw them, you panicked. Do I change it from a boy? I feel like I'm doing something wrong. Do I take my shirt off? Do I take my pants off? He is doing so I think I should. I see him standing there in his underwear. That was the first time I saw a boy half naked in a school that's supposed to be safe. I wanted to cry. I felt so uncomfortable. The only thing I'm asking for is that all students can change in a locker room that is matched to their gender. If they don't feel comfortable changing so, they could change in a private space alone, making others feel comfortable in their locker room. If I was your daughter and I came to you and said I saw the outline of a male's genitalia for the first time in the locker room in a school that's supposed to be safe, I'd hope you would be proactive and find a safe place for all students, not just 1%. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Riley, that video was heartbreaking. I feel like this is something that everybody in America should watch to really get an understanding, because this wasn't a performance. This was real. This was raw. This girl was clearly very uncomfortable recapping her story for this group of adults. When you see things like this and then, you know, have a full understanding of what your mission is, what does it make you think?
Well, first and foremost, it pisses me off beyond belief. Beyond belief, just how many people have failed this girl. For an 11-year-old sixth grade girl, put yourself in her shoes, an 11-year-old sixth grade girl to have to stand in front of a group of intimidating, what was that, 10 or so adults, authority figures, and have to share that, to have to share how you felt violated, to have to share how you, for the first time, non-consensually saw a man's genitalia. That is sick. That is perverse. And if you don't condemn this, you condone it. And if you condone this, you are just as guilty as the naked man undressing in her locker room. That is so beyond disturbing. It is perverse. And these people, if they don't act on this, I don't know what the outcome of this has been thus far, but if they don't act on this, and especially if they have young daughters or daughters in general, kids in general, I wholeheartedly believe that their kids should be taken away from them, because they are sellouts to their own children. That is a separate conversation that needs to be had involving CPS, because that is so disgusting. This is why we fight. Young girls just like this, like my younger sister, that is why we fight. Make no mistake, I'm not fighting for myself. I'm done competing. I'm done playing in sports. No one wants to see me in the pool anymore. I'd probably drown, to be totally honest with you. It's not about me. It's about creating a future for young girls like that to have the same opportunities that I was able to have, the same benefits that I reaped from playing sports or for single sex spaces in general. This pisses me off so badly. I can't even, I've seen the video, but I can't even bear to watch that. It makes me sick.
You know, you bring up a good point about the adults that don't condemn, ultimately condone. And I also just think about the parents of the boy that was in the locker room. For them to think, you know, listen, I know everyone wants what's best for their kid. I can't even begin to get inside the minds of someone raising a kid that's transgender. That's just not something I can personally wrap my head around. But to not understand that there are girls that also need to be protected and just say, oh, because you want to live your life this way. Sure, the girls' locker room, fair game for my child to go into and in turn violate these young girls. There's so many layers to the situation that you don't really think about. It's not just the people that are directly involved in the locker room. It goes way above that as well. And actually, I'd never really thought of that until now either.
Well, it's so true. And it's something that I realized when I was faced with this, because I thought to myself for so long, and I mentioned this on the podcast with Joe Rogan, you know, like I thought that a coach would do something. Okay, well, a coach wasn't doing something. I thought someone within the NCAA would do something. Okay, well, they weren't. I thought someone with political power would do something. No, okay, I thought a parent, I thought a dad, quite honestly, would come down there and yank this man out of our locker rooms. Okay, well, no, they weren't doing that. And finally, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is not at the hands of one person. Of course, the NCAA is ultimately to blame here, but there we've been failed on so many accounts by so many different people that now it's up to, this battle has almost entirely been placed on the shoulders of young girls, young 11-year-old girls. Or what about these girls in Massachusetts recently, mm-hmm. who in a basketball game, three of them were injured before halftime by this 6'2" man with facial mm-hmm. hair. Where's their coach? Where are their parents? Where are, is anyone on the school board there? No, but instead one of those 13-year-old girls, she's 13 years old, is calling me saying, I don't know what to do. And it frustrates me beyond belief. We are seeing weak leadership from the top down, stemming from the very top, right? Our federal government. We have a spineless, weak, morally bankrupt leader. But make no mistake, that trickles down all the way to the bottom, to people at these local school boards. In every realm, we have weak, weak leaders. And that is why we are failing as a nation. Other than the fact that we live in a godless society, I would say the largest contributing factor to our decline as a nation are weak male leaders.
Well, on the subject of males, one thing we were happy to see is someone who has a prominent voice in the sports arena, that's Bob Costas, standing up on behalf of women. He spoke out against transgender athletes participating in women's sports and rejected the notion that it's transphobic to call for, quote, common sense. And he directly said this, quote, so I understand that when it comes to Olympic boxing, that the Federation will allow trans women to compete against biological women at birth, biological women. That seems crazy. And, you know, ultimately, when he was asked if it's fair to force women to compete with transgender women, he said, no, it's absolutely not. How important is it to have someone like Bob Costas, someone who also has a lot to lose, speak out so strongly against what's going on when it comes to transgendered athletes competing in women's sports?
It is crucial. It really is. I can't believe we've reached a point where we're applauding saying this. We're applauding saying something so sensible, but it's necessary we applaud it, because again, the risk and the threats for saying something, just as he said, of merely saying that seems crazy, nothing even really opinionated about it. For saying something mm-hmm. like that, he is subjecting himself to a lot of financial risk, risk to his family. So I am certainly applauding it. I could not be more grateful. We need those large voices. We need the voices of professional athletes. We need the voices of governing board members. We need the voices of people who own these teams, people like Bob. We need those voices. That is how ultimately we make change.
Okay. Someone else, very loud voice in the sports arena, who is a woman, Hannah Storm, about a year ago, she voiced a vignette during Women's Month, which we are currently in right now. And it was in support of Leah Thomas. And a lot of people were a little bit confused, but let's first take a quick look at that vignette from about a year ago.
In 2022, swimmer Leah Thomas became the first transgender athlete to win an NCAA Division I championship by winning the 500 freestyle. The Texas native competed for three seasons on the men's swim team at the University of Pennsylvania. She began her transition after her sophomore season, and after a gap year due to the pandemic that forced the Ivy League.
So this was a piece in support of Leah Thomas, and also you saw right at the beginning of the vignette, it said celebrating women. Now, fast forward a year later, and she has wrote an essay that champions women in sports, which is very much the opposite of what we saw from her a year ago. So let's now take a look at that.
A woman does compete with men, coach men, call their games, earn equal pay, and break their records again and again.
Okay, so Riley, then versus now, a very stark contrast. How do you personally interpret this from Hannah Storm?
I interpret this new video the same way I interpreted the video a year ago, which is a classic case of virtue signaling. Hopefully she's come around and she's realized, you know, the importance of women's sports, the importance of celebrating and honoring women, real women. I hate that we have to add that prerequisite of real on there, but celebrating real women when it's a real woman's spot to be celebrated. But I doubt that's the case, honestly. Or maybe she didn't believe it all in the first place, but still adhered and made this video. Either way, I remember watching the first video where basically she says in Women's History Month last year, honoring Thomas, you know, Thomas has overcome persecution and so much adversity in the seemingly impossible to achieve a national championship. And I thought to myself, and I tweeted this, I said, if I was a woman working at ESPN, I would walk out. I could not imagine being asked to narrate this and actually following through with it as a woman. So, you know, a year later, we can hope that she has come around and has seen the effects of what this really looks like, but I doubt it. Again, I think this was a classic case of virtue signaling, but at least in the second video, she said, you know, women can compete against men. I think if she was trying to, you know, make this big play on word, but in reality, she really means that. She hasn't spoken to this yet. I wish she would. I wish she would, you know, this hypocrisy would be called out on a larger scale and she would be forced to answer to this. So, and I'm sure I speak for you too. She's welcome on my show anytime. So Hannah Storm, take this as a personal invite. Anytime you would like to come on the Gains for Girls podcast, or I'm sure Charlie's podcast, to talk about the contrast of you now versus you a year ago, you are more than welcome and you would be welcomed with open arms. Mm-hmm.
So one last question, as it pertains to this whole thing. I just had a conversation with Sage Steele, you know, who worked at ESPN for, you know, nearly, I think, two decades. She mentioned, and I think she's probably mentioned it in the past, probably to you personally, that she had a lot of things that she wanted to say, a lot of opinions that she wanted to voice, and she was told to stay quiet about it. Is there a part of you that maybe believes that Hannah was presented with doing this vignette a year ago and said, hey, would you do this? And maybe she didn't know how to react or felt uncomfortable saying no and therefore went through with it. But it's hard for me to understand because I only know Hannah from one perspective. And that is, you know, her really being a huge advocate for women, at least while I was at ESPN, she always treated me like that and the other women around. Do you think there's any part of that? Or what do you think the culture is like at places like ESPN when it comes to topics like these?
Well, listening to Sage Steele talk about ESPN, who is, of course, owned by Disney, if that's any indication as to what direction ESPN leans. I mean, listening to Sage Steele's story or talking to someone like Sam Ponder, both of those women are amazing, are beautiful, are fearless. They always have a smile on their face. They are not hateful by any means. I don't know how anyone could look at Sage Steele and think she's hateful. What a beautiful soul she is. And honestly, someone I admire a whole lot. Listening to how they have talked about what they have faced at ESPN, I certainly believe that's a possibility. To your point, I don't know Hannah like you do, or like Sage did, or the other people, women working at ESPN. But outside looking in, I can say as a woman, it is distasteful to see another woman. Really, we can just be our own worst enemies sometimes. It's distasteful to see another woman narrating this, narrating what is really our own demise, our own erasure, and our own demolition.
Well, Riley, once again, thank you so much for your time. It's always so interesting to hear you speak, and I am just so excited about the reaction you got from your appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast. I mean, that is truly astonishing that you received thousands of comments, messages, and not one was negative. And I think that really says something. I think when you take the politics out of this topic and just put it out there for people to absorb and understand as a common sense issue, it really, you know, I think really hits people differently. And I think you were able to do that by going on a podcast that had nothing to do with politics. I think that was so important. So thank you for doing that. And I hope that this is just the beginning of what you're able to accomplish. I hope even bigger platforms are presented to you and more doors keep opening for you as they have from the day that I met you. So again, thank you so much. And I know there's some news that you're going to be sharing later today. So I look forward to hearing about that as well.
Yes, very exciting news. First of its kind news. So I'm excited to share this news, and I hope everyone is tuned in and ready to fight, because again, that's what we need. We need some fighters. We need some leaders, just like yourself, Charlie. So thank you for having me on. I appreciate you and admire you so much.
Feeling is mutual, my friend. So thank you so much.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right. Well, everyone, that was a phenomenal interview. I'm so happy that Riley had the time to come on the show. She is always so interesting to talk to. If you haven't already, make sure you go check out the Joe Rogan Experience featuring Outkick's own Riley Gaines. And also make sure you're tuning into her podcast on the Outkick Network, Gaines for Girls. And with that, everybody, that is all the time that we have. Thank you so much for being here. This was such a fun show, such an eye-opening show, as it always is when Riley's on board. And in the meantime, make sure you're following me on social media at Charlie on TV. Have a wonderful Thursday. And just so everyone knows, we are not back until Tuesday, so enjoy the weekend, enjoy your Friday, and we will see you on Tuesday.